máme tady plno z newyorské scény, což mě neskrývavě samozřejmě těší. Je tady s námi Lil Annie a jsou tady s námi dva pánové, kteří se jmenují Paul a W. Welcome everyone. Thank you for coming.
Thank you.
Thank you. A to je samozřejmě Paul Wolfish, který dneska s Lil Annie vystoupí večer v Potrvá tady v Praze ještě společně se Strangers in the City. No a my se budeme bavit o tom setkání po třech letech, kdy jste spolu na cestách znovu po klubech. Jaká byla ta sobotní premiéra na turné v Iberjazzu na tomhle festivalu v Hamburku?
It is now for the first time in 3 years that you are together again touring the clubs. So how was the premiere in Hamburg?
Oh, it was terrific. I mean, well, I thought it was terrific. I think.
Yeah, it was wonderful. That's one of our favorite places to play, actually. That venue it was wonderful. Yeah.
Ideal place where to start the tour.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and it was nice doing those songs again. You know, I mean, first gigs are always really strange, anyway. You know, of a tour, but it felt really good. It was great.
Right. It was the first show with Wadi over there.
Yeah, my first.
Takže bylo to vlastně první.
It's amazing. All of a sudden there were other sounds coming out. It was from the other side of the stage. It was really something.
Tak, teď jsme se nedohodli, kdo z nás bude mluvit, ale slyšeli jste odpověď, která samozřejmě zní, že to bylo úžasné. Ačkoliv Annie říká, že bývá to docela divné, vždycky ten první koncert, kterým začínáte, tak Hamburg je jedno z jejich nejoblíbenějších míst, kde hrají. Takže tady tenhle ten první výkop tohle turné se povedl prý krásně.
Po nějakou dobu pobýval v Německu, tak by mě zajímalo, jestli se z ním už táhne nějaká cílová skupina fanoušků z Německa, nebo na ně chodí úplně neznámé tváře.
You have spent in Germany quite a lot of time. Is there already a German audience of yours that follows you?
Yeah, they you know, sometimes I look back and there's like this van full of crazy people just like on the road, you know, they're so like that. I mean, sure, there's, I've been spending a lot of time in Dortmund, Germany, doing music at the theater there, music for a lot of theatrical productions, new productions, and also all kinds of other older plays, did a Three Penny Opera there too, and Annie's performed at the theater there a couple times, three times now, with Baby D also, and with me, and we're going to be back there next week. And with my old band Botanica, we played everywhere in Germany, and with lots of other bands too. It's the big country in Europe, and of course,
it has been.
It's, we're just talking about that. It's the big elephant in the room. So they're definitely there, especially now with technology, right? There are fans all over the place. But sure, there are particularly many people, I think, in Germany who are aware of me and aware of Annie. And there's some that are coming to the show here, I think, also because, for instance, we're not playing Berlin this time. And certainly Hamburg, it was a really good turnout. There were a few hundred people there, and yeah.
Mm-hmm. Tak Paul se nejdřív dělal legraci, že jasně, že pokaždé, když se podívá dozadu do zpětného zrcátku, tak vidí, že ho tam sleduje banda šílených německých fanoušků, ale pak to samozřejmě doplňoval informacemi o tom, kde všude hrál, což byl hlavně Dortmund, a tentokrát jsou to vlastně všechna německá města, kde oni se nedávno zastavili, jak on, tak Annie, snad jenom na Berlín se nedostalo, ale to myslím vůbec nevadilo, protože mají docela vybudované to německé publikum. Je to konec konců vlastně největší jejich možné místo, kde by mohli mít tak velké publikum v Evropě.
Jak Lil Annie, tak Paul a Wolfish mají za sebou obrovskou řadu hudebních spoluprácí s předními osobnostmi nejen americké scény. Mě by zajímalo, kdy oni dva se setkali ve studiu, jestli to bylo ještě před album When Good Things Happen to Bad Pianos.
You have done many collaborations with a lot of great people, and I wonder if you two met, in studio, even before the album When Good Things Happen to Bad Pianos.
Oh, yeah, we were playing live for... You mean, were we playing with... Do we know each other?
If you collaborated, like, previously, before this album, or is it your first collaboration?
We started playing it when, 2000 or 2001, 2000, something like that?
Yeah, even earlier, I think. It was about 2000
was maybe the first show.
Yeah, and then I did a recording album with Anthony, and Paul played on some of those tracks, and actually once one of our co-compositions, so... Yeah, so we go back quite a ways.
Right, there's an album called the Coal Mine Canary Sings.
Mm-hmm.
Songs from the Coal Mine Canary. Sorry. Songs from the Coal Mine Canary. That's right.
Yeah.
See, it was so long ago. I can't remember what it's called. Anyway, that was when that came out, 2006, 2007, something like that.
Yeah, something like that. You know.
That was that Anthony co-produced, and so I played keyboards on I think 5 songs on that record. That was done, and they came brought Data to my basement, and the first song we wrote together was on that album. But we met through. I was playing with Kid Congo and Sally Norvell in the 90s, so we actually met for the first time in like the middle 90s, late 90s, and yeah.
Historie je to opravdu spletitá, vlastně se potkali už v 90. letech skrz spolupracovníka Paulova, který si říká Kid Congo, a potom spolu hudebně si myslím opravdu začali spolupracovat až okolo roku 2000, a je tam opravdu album, na kterém spolupracovali ještě předtím zmíněným When Good Things Happen to Bad Pianos, které nese název, na který se ještě jednou zeptám teď Paula. Paul, what's the name of the album?
Annie will tell you.
Songs from the Coal Mine Canary. That came out on
Songs from the Coal Mine Canary. That was available and probably still is available in Europe. If you certainly through Amazon and iTunes and all that, right? I would think.
Oh yeah, no, it's still out.
It's a great record.
Pořád je dostupné a vidíte, že už je ta historie tak spletitá, že už ani Annie s Paulem neví, jak se pořádně jmenovalo, vzpomněli si až po nějaké době.
Tak malý exkurs do diskografie tohle projektu. Ještě poslední otázka, než si pustíme skladbu Kid Congo Powers, tady padnul několikrát, on se 11. prosince vrací do Prahy. Mě by zajímalo, jestli není trošku škoda, že se nepotkáte na jednom pódiu a vůbec, jestli se ještě potkáváte a třeba spolu máte něco rozdělaného.
I'll add something for you. The first gig I did with Annie, we'd met and I'd seen her once in a while for a few years. We didn't really know each other well, and she'd asked me to play with her a couple of times, and I couldn't do it. And then the first gig we finally did was opening for Anthony. I think it was in 2000 at a sold out show in New York, and Dr. John was sitting so close to me at the front table that I thought I could reach out and touch him, and I was kind of nervous, especially actually about that. And I thought, wow, if this is the first gig, how great can it be from here? You know, so yeah. Just thought I'd add that little story, you know?
Thank you. Tak Paul ještě přidává historku, kdy úplně poprvé viděl Annie na právě koncertě Anthonyho, kde figurovali Dr. John, a říkal si, tak jestli je to na poprvé takhle skvělý, tak jak to asi bude dál.
Slíbil jsem ještě, že se budeme bavit o Kid Congovi. Ta diskuse už tady proběhla, tak jenom řeknu to nejzajímavější, co tady padlo během skladby, a to, že když Little Annie a Kid Congo byli v Berlíně v 90. letech, tak si jen němečtí fanoušci pletli, protože tenkrát vypadali oba úplně stejně. A já bych se z další otázkou obrátil znovu na Paula a zeptal se, jak to vypadá s tím jeho divadlem, protože on dlouhodobu, jak říkal, působil v Dortmundu, a minule, když jsme se bavili pro Radio Wave v rozhovoru, tak se přesunul do studia Einstürzende Neubauten a tvořil právě s jejich členy tenhle ten soundtrack. Tak v jaký fázi je projekt teďka?
We wonder in what phase is now your project with Einstürzende Neubauten, because last time we talked with you, it was very briefly after that.
Just to make a distinction, I'm not sure exactly what what was said last time. It's not with Einstürzende Neubauten, it's with Alexander Hacke, mm-hmm. who's been the bass player, and before that sort of the sound effects guy and kind of main sort of producer guy for Neubauten since he was 15 years old. I mean, he's an original Neubauten, but it's not, one has to be very clear about these things, particularly with Neubauten. But it's with Hacke, who's one of the most creative and smartest people in, I was going to say music, but really that I know on the planet, and with a great sense of humor, and he's just particularly curious and positive character who also happens to just attack music in a very extreme and passionate way, which I really like, kind of like just like Annie and Wadi over there too. I'm trying to find people that winnow it down to the best people to do things with. And so anyway, we have a thing called the Ministry of Wolves, which is originally it's music for a theater production called Republic of Wolves, based on the poet Anne Sexton's adaptations of Grimm's fairy tales, and that'll premiere in Dortmund in February. And we, as the band, Ministry of Wolves, will also tour, and we're doing an album. We're finishing an album now that's coming out on Mute, and it's the other two members of the band are Mick Harvey and Daniel De Picciotto, who's Haka's wife. So it's the four of us, and next year you'll see that.
Tak hlavně potřeba říct, že to nejsou celý Neubauten, ale je to jenom Alexander Hacke, což, jak Paul říká, jedna z nejpodivuhodnějších postav snad na celé planetě, kterou on strašlivě obdivuje. Je to někdo, kdo podle něho přistupuje k hudbě prostě podobným obdivuhodným způsobem, jako tady Little Annie, nebo druhý Paul W. Ale abychom se ještě dostali k tomu hlavnímu, tak hlavní informace je to, že ten projekt se jmenuje Ministerstvo vlků. Je to vlastně kapela, která vytváří soundtrack k jakési divadelní adaptaci pohádek Bratří Grimmů, a není tam jenom Paul a Alexander Hacke, ale taky ještě jeho žena, a ještě mají čtvrtého člena. Takže tohle to by mělo v brzké době se odehrávat i tak, že budou jezdit jako turné, nebude to jenom součást té adaptace, ta hudba.
You have a great memory, that was amazing.
Od divadla rychle přeskočíme ke kabaretu. Mě by zajímalo vaše vystoupení, samozřejmě nádech kabaretu mají, je to nepopíratelný fakt. V Americe tahle scéna hodně ožila v inspiraci německém 20. 30. let. Setkal se Paul taky s nějakým revivalem kabaretu v Německu za tu dobu pobytu?
Have you experienced any encounter with German kind of cabaret performances?
Yeah, sure. Well, a couple of songs we're going to do tonight. Annie's always saying, like, you know, people are asking her, are those, when did Brecht and Weill write those? But we wrote them, you know, 3 years ago. But I think, well, I don't know, we're consciously and unconsciously, and subconsciously, we're both influenced by that kind of music and appreciate that vibe. You played a Dessau with Baby D, right?
Yeah, I did the Kurt Weill Festival. I think you can't help but be influenced by everything, you know, by everything. But just because of the nature of my voice being what it is, you get it. You know, I'm never going to be like a pretty folk singer. So it's either going to be soul or yeah. German cabaret. You know, it's going to have that flavor just by the nature of that I'm.
I see.
So masculine of a female.
And that is a very appealing part of German culture to me. That's just, mm-hmm. not that I particularly know much about it, but there are, and I certainly much prefer that to Germans or other, whatever, Europeans or Asians or anywhere where they're trying to imitate, you know, American and British pop music. It's way better if they, if they inspired by something that maybe is more of a traditional or. Aspect of their
like
culture.
Like fado music in Portugal, yeah. or chanson in France. Or in, you know, the I think there's such a rich variety of soul music, because it's something that's all soul music. Music. Yeah. If it comes from the from here, it's from the soul, you know. Which is great that you're hearing that again, because I remember when everything was rock and roll, and it was American rock and roll, and it was just like, you know, it was Eurovision. You know, so it's good to see.
There are not many, the Germans themselves, there's not much modern sort of cabaret music in Germany that I know of. But there's probably more interest in that now. We were just talking about before, there's a big burlesque revival kind of all over the world, which is sort of a little bit somehow tangentially related to that mm-hmm. kind of a scene, you know.
Okay.
For instance.
Tak teď jste mohli slyšet takový střídavý výlev vlastně velkého srdečného vztahu a lásky ke kabaretu a k inspiraci tady touhletou vlastně tímhletím odvětvím německé hudby. Annie i Paul vlastně se shodují na tom, že nejsou rádi, když vidí Němce nebo jakékoliv Evropany imitovat něco, jako je americký rock nebo nějaký indie rock, že mají hodně rádi, když se navazuje na ty tradiční kořeny, že je to vlastně takový jejich druh soulu a je to něco, k čemu mají obrovsky blízko. Annie sama říkala, že vlastně ona je přesně ten typ, který se na tohle to hodí, že nikdy nebude vlastně taková uhlazená zpěvačka, která by někdy mohla zaujmout mainstream, ale je to něco živočišného a něco opravdového, k čemu ona má hodně blízko. A vlastně dvě nebo více kabaretních verzí písniček se také objevují na tomhletom turné, na kterém zrovna jsou.
My se pojďme podívat na autobiografii, která mě moc mrzí, že nevyšla zatím u nás v češtině, jestli se nepletu, jmenovala se You Can't Sing the Blues While Drinking Milk, napsala ji Little Annie, která je naším hostem a má spousta krásných hostů v předmluvě, jako Lady Lunch, Davida Tibeta z Current 93 a tak podobně. Mě by zajímalo, jestli samotnou zpěvačku něco překvapilo v té předmluvě, jestli se dozvěděla o sobě něco, co nevěděla.
Annie, I haven't read your autobiography because it hasn't been released here yet. But I know that there was a foreword by David Tibet from Current 93 or Lydia Lunch or David J. from Bauhaus.
There was a lot of them. Yeah, no, they all
a lot of Davids.
Yes, no, forwards. I know, but it's the named David that you knew, right?
Okay, have you have any of the texts or has any of the texts been surprising for you, or have you found?
You mean the forwards? I was very moved by it. I actually, all of them moved me. You know, I mean, Anthony's one. They made me. I got and Baby D's one even. You know, which was funny, but it actually they all. I was very moved by that because I don't think. If you're busy living, you're not really. Thinking much about, or you don't know what your effect is in the world, you know, because you're too busy doing. And so it was kind of like getting to go to my funeral, which I hope is not for a long way. I hope it's a long way off. But I was very moved by it. Yeah, I was surprised and very touched. Yeah,
sure. Annie říká, že byla hlavně dojata všemi těmi předmluvami od všech lidí, bylo jich tam ještě víc, které my jsme zmínili, a říká, že je to trošku jako jít sama sobě na pohřeb, protože dozvíte se o sobě věci, které byste se normálně nedozvěděli, protože když vlastně žijete, tak nemáte čas na to se těmihle věci až tolik zabývat a ptát se sám sebe, jaký vlastně jste, a takhle se to mohla dozvědět.
Little Annie vyrůstala, už začínala hrát v 70. letech, éra punku v New Yorku, která je v knížkách a filmech hodně romantizovaná. Mě by zajímalo s tím, jestli se setkala taky s nějakým vlastním překrouceným osudem, ať už ve filmu, nebo tak, jak o ní někdo mluvil.
You were growing up in the 70s, in the era which was like heavily romanticized in various adaptation. Have you run into an adaptation of your own life story that somehow wasn't true?
Oh, you mean from...
From what people say? Or
oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, the thing was that the reality was... not romantic. I mean, the reality was it was a lot of poverty, a lot of no jobs. This scene, which they make the whole New York thing, which they make was this big music thing. It was so tiny. It was two clubs with probably maybe 100 people, running around. You know, but they go to each other's shows. It had such an overinflated sense of itself. So, yeah. I mean, absolutely. It was and they said. I mean, I miss what New York was, but, I had to work in places like Times Square when I was a kid, and it was no place to be a little girl. I would never let my child out. They're going to be 40 years old before they leave the house, because it was dangerous and tough and hopeless. It felt hopeless when you were in it, But when you're young, God protects you.
Annie říká, že mnohokrát se s tímhletím setkala, hlavně s tím, že se dělala třeba z newyorské scény ještě mnohem větší věc, než to ve skutečnosti byla, protože, jak Annie říká, byla vlastně titěrná úplně, vlastně to byli lidé, kteří si chodili sobě navzájem na koncerty, a to, co se o tom říkalo, tak opravdu bylo někdy docela daleko od pravdy. A co se týče třeba spojení s jejím osobním životem, tak ona vlastně jako malá jednu dobu vlastně strávila hodně času na Times Square, protože tam pracovala. což je místo okolo, kterého se vlastně navázalo hodně mýtů a Annie říká, nikdy bych tam nikomu nedoporučovala strávit delší dobu, hlavně když jste malé dítě.
Ještě jedna moje zvídavá otázka na newyorskou scénu. Tenkrát se hodně točila kolem klubů jako CBGBs, Max Kansas City nebo Chelsea Hotel. Je to taky dneska, nebo se nějak ta scéna rozmělnila po městě?
One more question about the New York scene. Those days, places like CBGB or Marks, Kansas City or Chelsea Hotel were really, really important. Is it so these days too, or has it changed?
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, they're all gone. Well, all three of them are gone now. And I mean, the Chelsea Hotel got this reputation as being a patron of the arts. The way they got that artwork was they would steal it. They'd steal it from your room if... you know, it was cheap rent at the time. So if you couldn't pay your rent, you'd come home and your art would be gone because Stanley, the bard who used to run the place, would take the art and they say it was a donation. It wasn't a donation. They'd steal it. So it was a kind of a... I mean, I thought it was wonderful. When you're 16 years old, everything's wonderful, you know, but it was a dump. It was a dive. It was interesting. I mean, I met a lot of interesting people. I just didn't know who they were. You know, I was blessed to go, oh, this guy, I met like Stanley, another Stanley Gould who was in all the Kerouac books. And, you know, he goes, oh, you know, talk about Kerouac and Burroughs and this and that. And I go, no, you're just an old speech freak. I don't know who you know. And he goes, no, I'm a poet and this and that. No, you're just a dirty old man. I don't know. I didn't know who these people were. So I was kind of... I had a great education just because I didn't want anything from anybody because I didn't know what they had to take. Maybe if I knew what they who they were, then it would be a different thing. But so, in that sense, yes, I had a very. It was an education, you know.
I think that's a... Oh, go ahead, translate that.
Annie se rozpovídala, pak to ještě doplní Paul, Annie se rozpovídala vlastně o těch starých časech, říká, že dneska je to opravdu hodně jiné, hlavně protože ty hlavní kluby vlastně už neexistují, takže se to opravdu rozlilo trošku jinak, to ještě potom možná doplní Paul. A Annie se rozpovídala o Chelsea Hotel, kde jste mohli přijít vlastně o všechno, co jste měli v pokojích, protože okolo byly večírky a mohl se tam dostat celkem kdokoliv na ten váš pokoj a doplňuje k tomu vlastně vyprávění svoje o všech těch lidech, které tam potkala, kteří byli obrovsky zajímavý, o kterých by se určitě taky dala napsat celá kniha, ale Annie říká, já vlastně vůbec nevím, kdo ti lidé byli, oni měli spoustu historek, byl to nějaký starý člověk, který vykládalo Kerouakovi a Burroughsovi a já jsem si říkala, kdo to vůbec je, ale pak jsem si nakonec řekla, vy jste jenom nějaký starý zprosták, mě to vlastně až za stolik nezajímá, všechny tady tyhle ty postavičky, takže docela barvité vyprávění o staré newyorské scéně. Paul?
Yeah, I was just gonna say, I mean, it's so romanticized now and you know, but it's generally kind of accidental, I think, when and it's just very organic and accidental when things sort of scenes happen that then later you look back on. I mean, CBGB's was really just a completely failed bar, that and it was the only place that there was a guy there named Hilly who just didn't object to people making noise in his room. That was really the only thing.
The bar was full, yeah.
And it was empty before, and then the people came and made some noise there, so he thought, okay, this isn't horrible then because now I can eat. And it's really simple as that. And Max's, they just happened to have a room in the back, and you could walk there. And the Chelsea Hotel, yeah, it was just exactly, it was just cheap rent, and everything's just and I'm sure that now the point also just is that now we romanticize it and it's true, it's all. I just read that the Chelsea Hotel finally was sold and they're going to turn it into basically a theme park of the Chelsea Hotel. It's really unbelievable.
Even I can,
and fortunately there's a fantastic Spanish restaurant that's been in the basement next door there forever,
yeah,
80 years, and they signed a super long lease with the old owners 3 years ago, so they're not going to be able to kick them out, which is great.
Galician, it's the best place in New York.
And so, I'm sure that now, I don't know what it is necessarily, but there's probably some other sort of accidental scene that's not, and I don't mean, you know, the Williamsburg sushi bars, right? But there's probably something somewhere, maybe not even in New York, maybe it's in Omaha, who knows, or maybe it's here somewhere, and maybe it's in Olomouc, you know, that's happening, and we don't know about it yet. And nobody's going to know about it for another 30, 40 years in that sense, as like sort of this historic time capsule. It's so... New York was really a cheap open place there. I mean, I was there in 79, 80 for the first living there the first time, and it was the possibilities really seemed limitless, but it was incredibly hard. I would run as fast as I could home to avoid getting beat up. Every day, broken into, till there was nothing left in the apartment, and then it was actually kind of okay. I knew I wouldn't get broken into again because there was nothing left. But anyway.
Tak Paul ještě doplňuje ještě snad barvitější vyprávění o staré scéně v New Yorku, kdy vlastně začal tím, že popisoval CBGB, což byl podle něho spíš takový jakoby obrovský fail, takové obrovské jakoby fiasko, klub, který byl založený na tom, že ho vedl člověk, kterému prostě nevadil hluk, který když byl trošku menší hluk než v některou dobu, tak si řekl, je to v pohodě, protože teďka můžu jíst, takže taková asi byla jeho míra kontroly nad tímhletím klubem. Pak zmiňuje právě Chelsea Hotel, ve kterém teďka bude něco jako zábavní park s tím tématem Chelsea Hotel, takže nějaké takové site-specific jakési atrakce v duchu těch starých příběhů a starých lidí, kteří tam dřív bývali. A dál se potom Paul pouštěl do popisu toho, že vlastně ta dnešní scéna může být celkem kdekoliv. Možná někde v New Yorku je, možná bude v Olomouci.
I když bych rád poslouchal tyhle newyorské historky, nejlépe až do noci, bude lepší vrátit se na koncert, poslechnout si všechny ty zkušenosti života v textech Little Annie a Paul Wolfish a taky další Paul byli našimi hosty. Večer v Potrvásně můžete vychutnat. Thank you guys for coming. Enjoy the show.
Thank you so much for having us. Nice to be back here.
And see you and if you come by tonight, Annie did some drawings in Penny's. She doesn't just, you know, she doesn't just write books and sing
just
and
you know,
she doesn't just make records and write books.
She's for radio.
Exactly. So she did these little drawings and paintings just for this week, and you can come and then you for really it's a steal for whatever 25 euros is in crowns. You put in a little envelope where she wrote on it, says Germany, Czech, 2013, signed, and you get a little Annie painting. So for no other reason, just come on down, get a painting, go and then go have dinner.
Ještě krásná reklama na výtvarnou stránku a Annie. Večer se vám představí, tak je samozřejmě s jejím uměním a hudbou. Užijte si večer a já ještě jednou děkuju a pustíme si Botaniku jako Paulův projekt.